Morning, everyone. Good to see you, and it's wonderful to be here worshiping the Lord together with you. I'm in my third month of being here as your pastor, and I want to thank you for your prayer and support, all the smiles, all the food, all the greetings. Really make my initial months here really very blessed. So I want to thank you. And I want to thank Pastor Vincent. He's such a nice pastor. Yeah. Always smiles. So he may be called a smiling pastor. Yeah. He's a very nice pastor. And every time we pray, I feel God's blessings upon us, you know. I want to talk to you today about resisting temptation. About do not bow to temptation. Let us start with something funny. I read about a man's prayer. He prayed to God. He said, "Dear God, so far today, I've done all right. I have not gossiped, and I have not lost my temper, and I have not been grumpy, nasty, or selfish, and I'm really glad. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to need a lot of help. Thank you, Jesus. Amen." There's one thing in common to all men in life. At every moment, the king or the queen is facing it, the criminal is facing it. At the moment, the Hollywood movie star is facing it, so as the movie fan or the policeman can be facing it. So the moment your pastor is facing it, I'm sure everyone in the congregation will be facing it. What we're talking about is common thing in life is temptation. No one is exempt from temptation. No one is exempt from everyday challenge. And in the book of James, chapter 1, the passage we just read, the book of James talks about trials and temptation. And this section, 13 to 18 of chapter 1, James warned us about temptation. He warned us about its danger. He told us how it develops, and he told us how to overcome it. I'm currently on the book of James with the Chinese congregation, and last Sunday, we were on the second week in our message series called Practical Faith. It's how to develop a faith, a dynamic faith, that does not afraid of challenges and messiness in life. And one of the messiest part of our walk, of our Christian walk, of our lives, is this area of temptation. Temptation confuses us. It makes us to compromise. It convinces us to do wrong. It weakens our moral strength. It complicates things. It promises pressure, but ultimately, it produces pain and death. We don't want that. We don't like that. But no one is exempt from it. And it's easy to become a Christian by confessing to the Lord Jesus of your sins and accept Him as your Savior. But it's another matter, as you walk with Jesus, as you face the challenges of this journey following Jesus. And there's a purpose in all these things that come into our life. We know God is in control. But what is it anyway? This temptation that we encounter every day. What is temptation? Let me give you a simple definition, and we can go deeper about this meaning of temptation. What is temptation? Now, I need your help flipping the PowerPoint, for I forgot to bring that controller. Temptation is a seduction to do wrong by promising pressure or gain. It's a simple definition, but it's so true. It's a seduction to do wrong by promising pressure, by promising gain. Temptation is the seduction. It's the enticement to sin. Now, temptation itself is not sin. But when we agree with the temptation, when we fall into the temptation and follow it, then surely and gradually it will lead us to sin. In the book of James, it tells us that temptation is dangerous. Now, the book of Hebrews, just before the book of James, we're told how Jesus himself was faced with temptation. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, turn to your Bible to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, yet does not sin. So Jesus was tempted. Temptation itself is not sin. But when we give in to temptation, when we fall into temptation, then we sin. Now, if you remember Jesus' temptation, remember in Matthew chapter 4? It tells us a deeper meaning of temptation. And you can always describe this and identify it in your life. Jesus, after he was baptized, when the heaven opens and glories of God shines upon him, right? And there was a voice saying, "This is my son, my beloved." Remember that passage? Yes. And right after that, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted, right? So the moment the public announcement about the identity of the Son of God, about the work of the Son of God, was publicly announced, then followed temptation. God allows it. The Holy Spirit purposely led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil himself. And Satan used three temptations recorded in Matthew 4 to tempt Jesus, remember? The first is what? Turning bread, right? Turning stone into bread. And the second temptation Satan used is asking Jesus to throw himself from a high point of a mountain and see if God will save him, protect him, right? And the third temptation, are you with me? Yes? Satan showed him the kingdom of the world and the splendor and tempted him, if Jesus bowed to him, then Satan would give all this to Jesus. Remember? Now, think about, what does it mean behind each temptation? If Jesus agreed to Satan and use his divine power as the Son of God, which he surely had, okay, and turn those stones and rocks into bread, what does it mean? It would mean that Jesus would give up his incarnation to be a Son of Man. He would go back to be this God with all the mighty power, right? Without the incarnation, would there be salvation? No. So Satan tempted Jesus to give up his mission. The second temptation, Satan tempted Jesus, okay, by throwing himself from a high point of the mountain and see if God protect him. Now, you know, Jesus, incarnated Son of God, became a carpenter, become a man, a lowly posture, right? He humbled himself to be just a man, choosing a very low position and a career and a family. No one knew at the time that Jesus was the Son of God, right? So it's like an undercover policeman. He went into this gangster group. He went undercover. Only one supervisor, police officer in the whole department, police department, knows about his identity. Now, after 3 years, would this undercover cop doubt if anyone knew about his identity? Anyone care about him? in midst of his dangerous mission, would his supervisor, would the whole police department, would the whole system, okay, really care and protect him? So this undercover cop was tempted to test. It's a test about a confidence in the attributes of God. Does he care? Can he protect? Will he do something? But Jesus did not give up. He totally trusts God, scared his love and his power to protect him. So Jesus did not give in. If he gave in, then he gave in to abolishing his mission. The third temptation Satan used is to show him all the treasure and the glory, the splendor of the world, and say, if you bow to me, I'll give to you. Now, let's reflect. Who said that everything in this world belonged to the Satan? Only Satan said that, right? God is the creator and the sovereign ruler of the whole universe, cosmos. It's Satan that sent the lies to everyone on earth saying, oh, that belonged to the devil. If we bow down to the devil, then we'll receive all this. No, all these are lies. Okay? Jesus knew it. Okay? But what Satan tried to do is tempting Jesus, say, if you use the power of this world to fight and build your kingdom on earth, okay, then it's much better. Because right now, you did not have disciples. Right now, you did not have a church. You did not have power. You did not have a name, reputation. How are you going to do, achieve the salvation? You see, all these three temptations come down to one point, which is to distract, to remove, to destroy the identity of the Son of God and his mission. Now, there are two sons of God. One called Adam, who failed, who gave into temptation of Satan. Remember in Genesis? And then there is Jesus, the second Son of God, who conquered, who won the battle and became the Savior of all mankind. So anything in your life, in my life, anything in our path, in our journey, that destroy, distract, try to take away your identity as a child of God and your mission to fulfill the will of God on this earth will be a temptation. Now, that is deeper, broader, and more to your mind to identify what are those temptations that are real happening in your life. You are a child of God. You have a mission on this earth. God looks after you. He's your provider. He's your protector. He's your heavenly Father. Anything in this world, anyone in this world, any system in this world that denies you that, lie to you about that, and try to take you away from your mission and your identity, eventually become your temptation. Don't bow to them. Don't bow to temptation. Now, temptations, we realize, is deduction to do wrong by promising pressure or gain. Is anything that try to take away our identity as a child of God and the mission God sends us, leaves us here on earth to glorify his name, we do not bow to it. What are some truths about temptation that will help us to understand? The number one truth is, temptation is always present in life. The next slide, please. Yeah. James chapter 1, verse 13 said, remember when you are being tempted. Remember when you are being tempted. It's not if you are tempted, should by any strange circumstances you are being tempted. No, he said, when you are tempted, you can expect it going to happen. No one is exempt from it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it said, the temptation in your life are no different from what others experience. But everyone has a unique temptation is custom made, so to say. Everyone is unique. So everything, every temptation you face is a little bit different. But regardless who we are, our age, our social status, income, how old, how long you've been following Jesus, how spiritually mature you become, you all face it. Okay? It's real. Now the tendency for us is to think, oh, we are weak. We are not strong. We are weak people. That's why we face temptation. Oh, you have something wrong. You must have something wrong in you because you are tempted. No. Even the strong will be tempted as much as the weak. Okay. Temptation is always present. And when you start feeling guilty about it, remember, even Jesus was tempted. But do not give in. Okay. Another truth about temptation, James explained to us, is temptation is never prompted by God. Okay. In verses 1 to 12, James talked about the trials in life, the disappointment, the heartache, all the hardship. But now it turned into a different subject about temptation. But James used the word in Greek. It's the same word, okay? Trial and temptation. But in the context, we know James switched and talked about temptation now. But here's the difference. God may bring trials into our lives to stretch our faith, but God never leads us into temptation and causes us to sin. Only Satan and our inner evil desire do that. So remember, when we're being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempted anyone else to do wrong. So pastor, he said, God does not traffic in the realm of immoral. Okay? There's nothing in God. Okay? Remember a magnet. It attracts iron automatically, right? So to us, in our fallen nature, there's something inside of us. Okay, it's like magnet. We attract iron of sin. But in God, there's no such thing. God cannot be tempted by evil. Okay? So James, rule this out. Absolutely nothing that God has to do with temptation. God is not tempted. God is not tempting. He tests us. He allows Satan to test Job. But Satan's purpose is to tempt Job so that he could sin by giving up his faith. But God turned this trial into something to mature Job's faith so that Job's faith will be a real experiential, a supernatural faith that trusts God regardless. Okay? Now the third truth, not only temptation is never prompted by God, temptation is always present in life, temptation is predictable. There is a predictable pattern. In 14 to 15 verses, chapter 1, temptation comes from our own desires, entices, drag us away. Okay? But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. The pattern, our desire for something. In the Greek word, the English translates lust. But it's a neutral word. It's a desire. A desire for a beautiful thing, a desire for food, a desire to eat, to sleep, you know, a desire. It's neutral. But this desire, and then being lured away, and then the pattern comes to a sinful action, and then sin grows inside, and then death comes. So when we are confronted with something we desire, that something becomes a bait and draw us and drag us. And then it convinces us, it could give us pressure and gain, so we give into it. And then when we give into the temptation, then we fall into sin. And that sin becomes a pattern in our life, even to some people become an addiction, eventually it leads to death, spiritual death and also physical death, into a realm, a world of darkness and struggles and pain, okay, and destruction. This is the pattern. It's consistent. It's predictable. So we can recognize it. There's nothing in temptation we do not know before. We can sense it. Okay. Now let's go further. What are these elements in every predictable temptation? There are three elements. The first, it contains a bait. Second is a desire, and the third is enticement. The bait is usually something external, maybe a person, maybe a thing, a title, a position, a recognition, some sort of pressure, power, even people's respect. Okay, whatever it is, it can be different for everybody, but it's effective on you because it's completely your unique desire. It may be different, ineffective to someone else. So the bait for one person may be sexual, for another person may be monetary, for another person may be a substance, for another person may be a feeling. Okay, different baits, effective in different people. Okay, at one time in our house, we had mice troubling our house. You scare mice? I do. Yeah. We had a couple of mice running around our house, causing damages, you know, health hassle, you know. So we set up some traps. And what did we use for bait? I read, and we end up with peanut butter. Because we're told that peanut butter was the best kind of bait to catch a mouse. And it worked. But it's very gross. Okay. But the imagery here in James, he used, it actually is a fisherman, fishing terms, trying to catch a fish. Okay. I'm not much a fisherman. I took a fishing course. I went fishing a couple of times. But I recognize one thing. There are different baits for different fishes. Okay. If you want to catch a large mouth bass, you don't use a small clothespin. Okay, you lose something shiny, it can dance in the water, and then attract this large mouth bass to bite it. Okay. Every temptation involves a bait of some kind. And it also contains in temptation a desire that's really determined if the bait will work. Now, what do you desire? What do you crave after? What do you always dream about? What do you always fantasize about? What do you always pursue, okay? Something is not really a temptation until it involves something we desire. If it's not something you desire, there's absolutely no temptation for you. Okay? So the bait is something that you desire, and then the danger becomes real. And the third element in every temptation is the seduction, the enticement. Okay? Whatever draws your attention to that bait, attracts you toward it, okay? Connects you, your desire to that bait. For the mice, it was the smell, the peanut butter smell. For the fish, it's the bait that dances around in the water, shining, you know. Maybe a promise of pressure, maybe illusion, an image, maybe friends, relationship, respect, you know, the promise, pressure, gain, you know. The power of all temptation, as John Piper once he wrote, is the prospect that will make me happier. But it's a trap. It's a trap. Because in everybody's experience, including mine, temptation never really satisfies. It leaves us empty. It leaves us more miserable than before. It promises something and never come true. And the result, after a period of addiction, then is death. How to overcome temptation? James showed us. He said, focus on the good. Now it's interesting about when James talks all the danger about temptation, and then he breaks into verse 17, talks about the goodness, the unchangedness, the beauty of God. The God is the source of all gifts, all the goodness to us. You know, whatever is good, perfect, comes down from God our Father, who created all the light in the heavens. So in every new year, everybody, most people, will make resolution about what to do, what to quit, you know, all this, and then later in the year discovering, oh, I give up. How many resolution, New Year resolution you broke already? Probably all of them. Now, experts will tell you the best thing to do is not to quit, but to replace a non-productive habit or annoying habit with something productive, something wonderful, something healthy. So it's not stop doing something, but start doing something else that will promote growth. Okay? So that's the way of temptation. If you have a habit of give in to temptation, what you want to do is take the time spending focusing on what to replace that will promote growth and health and life. Focus on the good. Focus in on God. Focus in His Word. Focus in His presence. Focus in talking to God. Focus in meditating about the knowledge of God. Focusing on doing kindness, you know, as a testimony of God's presence. Like Philippians chapter 4 will say, focus on whatever true, honorable, right, pure, loving, admirable, all this excellent, worthy of praise. Focus on all those things. Okay? The writer of Psalm 119 knew what it's like to face temptation. How can a young man stay pure? By obeying God's word, by keeping God's word in his heart, by not wandering around and let your thought wandering around into all realms of feelings and all kind of fantasy, okay? But focusing on the goodness, on the good, okay? And then the second thing is helpful is to avoid compromising situation. This is what Joseph did in the Old Testament. When his boss wife, Potiphar's wife, tempted him to sleep with her, Joseph refused. And at the end, when she forced herself on him, what did Joseph do? He ran away. Even he left his collar coat, right, on the floor and ran away. Sometimes temptations spring up when you are least expecting it, but most of the time we know they are coming. We know because we've been there before. We know the situation that we get ourselves in, we know the people we hang out with, we know the circumstances, the hour that trigger temptation in our life. We want to avoid those compromising situations. And if necessary, run. That's the best thing to do. Run away. Then thirdly, how do we avoid temptation? Always be prepared. Resolve now. Before it comes, before the hour comes, before you are being alone, before you pass by that spot or you see that person, avoid and then resolve inside to obey God, to trust God, to believe in His promises, to know that He has a mission for you on this earth. Okay? Resolve to be faithful to God regardless of what temptation may come your way. And build up your inner man, the strength of inner man. Practicing those spiritual disciplines that promote growth, personal worship, Bible study, prayer, solitude, simplicity, even silence, that promote sanity, spiritual sanity, that avoid all this bombardment from the system of the world. You know? So you want to be prepared. You want to build a spiritual foundation. As Jesus said, as for everyone in Luke chapter 6, who comes to me and hears my word and put them in practice, they are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. If your life is well built, keep on building well, then when temptation comes your way, you will not be shaken. You will not fall into it. So here are some advice, preparing ourselves. Build a vibrant prayer life. Okay? Jesus said, pray that you will not be led into temptation. Build a vibrant, the next slide please, vibrant prayer life. Pray, okay? Pray. Jesus said, do not enter into temptation. He did not say, pray that you will never be tempted. Oh God, please don't let me be tempted, I have negative thought. That's not realistic. But Jesus said, pray that you don't enter into temptation. The reason people keep on sinning, following the same kind of pattern of temptation year after year is because they never ask God for help. Listen, we cannot overcome temptation on our own. We cannot resist that desire to compromise. But when we humble ourselves and recognize our weaknesses and be honest with ourselves, we seek God's help. And God always helps. Oh God, I don't want to watch those wrong things. I don't want to pollute my mind with those ugly things. Help me to resist temptation. That's the right approach. Because prayer gets our inner man strong. Okay. The spirit is willing, but it's not enough to resist those temptations. So pray that your inner man will be strong. And also pray ahead of time. Don't pray in the middle of the heat, in the middle of the temptation. Ask God, oh God, help me, deliver me. You are right into that trap already. Okay? You got a problem with your temper? Before you get up in the morning, you pray, Lord, help me to control my temper. You're an impatient person? Even before the traffic jam, pray. Like I do every morning. Help me to be patient. Okay? Pray ahead of time. You got to get your inner man built up. Okay. When something going to be difficult, a challenge, and you are struggling with depression, don't wait until you're depressed, okay, for 3 days before you ask God for help. Pray and pray ahead. So don't give up praying, but pray always. And then read and meditate on the Word of God. I need to wrap up now. And then find an accountability partner and recognize your weaknesses and recognize God's strength. Now, finding an accountability partner is very important. The easiest way to fall into temptation, if you keep your temptation in secret, okay, but nobody knows. Either your spouse or your good friend that you can confide with, or even a spiritual leader, your pastor, find an accountability partner that holds you accountable so that you can live a life of freedom and not in darkness, and then have victorious walk with God. And recognize your weakness, that you are vulnerable. Don't be so boastful that you will not fall. Recognize God's strength. Okay? All this helps us. So, as the message is wrapping up, what is God speaking to you today? He wants you to be victorious as his child. He said there's a destiny, there's a plan for you and me, that he will provide all that we need to be successful. So don't give up in this long, what God's prepared for us, just for temporary pleasure and gain in our life. Take a long view. God has promised us spiritual inheritance that are glorious, that belong to his children. Don't listen to your own evil desire or the voice of Satan or the voice of the world for these lies about temporary pleasure and gain. We are a children of God. Amen? God has a purpose and plan for each one of us to glorify him, and he can make us victorious. Let's pray. Why don't you quietly pray and ask God and thank him for the strength that he provides you, and also ask for his forgiveness and ask him to give you a fresh start. Pray to him. Ask him to help you to resist temptation, overcome, and move forward. Help him to build your inner man with strength of character. Now let me pray for you. Dear Lord God, I love this brother and sister so much because they are precious in your sight. I ask that you would take each of us here where we are at in our life and raise us up to the man and woman of God. We ask that you fill us with your spirit, cleanse us and purify us from all sin. We ask that you help us to live a life that are honoring to you, and help us to encourage and pray for one another onto even a greater level. Oh God, help each one of us to be overcomers, not victims. And pray that, Lord, in your grace, in your mercy, restore us every time we fall, so that we can be stronger and more wise as we walk with you. We want to thank you, Lord, for your word. We want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We want to thank you, Lord, for your grace. We want to give you honor in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.